Donate your vehicle, please call 877-KPFK-AUTO. That's 877-KPFK-AUTO.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you're listening to Fiercely Independent, KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and worldwide at kpfk.org. Radio powered by the people.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you. For real,
for real. Oh, yeah.
What you wanna be doing, sir?
The program's about to begin.
Orale, it's the Pocho Hour of Power here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, unoccupied LA. Hey, well, how's it going? I'm Lalo Alcaraz. I'm the creator of La Cucaracha and a whole bunch of other Desmother stuff. And I'm so happy to be here in studio with the whole crew at KPFK. All the Pochos are all out there like satellites right now. They're like some Elon Musk satellites out there burning and crashing or having fun out there. I don't know if we have anybody on there, my friend.
What's happening?
Hey, all right.
Reporting live from Mexico.
Esteban Zuhl, welcome back, sort of. You're still out there in Mexico. You're reporting.
Yeah, I'm over in the jungle. But I did find a Wi-Fi connection, so I'm here.
Okay, good. Did you, what, you put two mezcal plants together? And
oh, no, I clapped some coconuts until we got a good signal.
Well, that always works. That works on the islands, too. So that's great, man. Can you talk about what you're doing out there or not?
Well, you know what? I've been on a hunt for my abuela's papers because with all this craziness that's going on in the States, I've been thinking it might not be a bad idea to have dual citizenship.
Well, now that they want to yank it from us, right? Is that
Yeah, right. Right when I'm on the verge. Right on the verge of attaining it.
You're about to sign on the X, on the dotted
line. They're trying to take that privilege away. Is it a privilege or is it a right? I'm not sure.
I think if you ask Melania and Barron Trump, it's a right because they are dual citizenship, citizens of U.S. and Mars or Slovenia, I think.
Well, I'm sure once Melania rakes all that money away from Trump, she's probably going to want to go back to her home country. Maybe she'll say, "Do not do this, Donald. Do not do this."
Barron will not be fighting in Greenland. Well, anyway,
we'll probably go a lot further. Once she takes all Donald's money, it'll probably go further in her home.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, Slovenia, it's the Guadalajara of Europe, I heard. But we got derailed, but we got a great show. Everybody's joining us, and out there somewhere in the ether is we'll line up all the poachers as soon as they come into the room. We've got Patricia Guadalupe. We've got Russell Contreras. Patricia joining us from D.C. Russell joining from New Mexico. Our man with Axios. I heard something.
I think we might have Jeffrey in the house.
Oh, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Keller, welcome to the Pocho Hour Power.
What's up, young man?
Hey, hey, hey. Can you talk about where you're at? Everyone's at a secret location, sort of.
Yes, we're driving towards San Diego to do a gig at the Yellow Door. I'm with the guys, and I'm with Joe, the guy that I'm shooting the show with, the PI show with.
Oh, right on. That's right. It's, what is it called? Jeffrey Keller PI?
I wish it was, but right now it's Joe and Jeff. It's Joe and Jeff, right? Joe?
It's a Joe and Jeff.
You guys are still you guys are still wrestling over the who's on first, so to speak.
Yeah, we're still arguing. My page, you can tell us which one it should be, Jeff and Joe or Joe and Jeff.
It should be Joe and Jeff. I definitely. I mean, I think that's what people have been voting.
Call it Joeffrey, or maybe
sometimes AJ.
You can always be diplomatic and say, let's go in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Or we could just call them. But
that's what I do.
J and J. We got the producer.
The JJ
here.
Show.
We got the producer here, AJ.
AJ of the JJ show.
Hey. You remember AJ? He's the one who discovered Usher.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And look at what he discovered with you two.
He Columbus.
That's
dude.
Right. I sure wish he could be Jeff and Joe.
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard.
It would still be Joe and Usher. It's a short year.
But no, it's fun shooting and having a good time. We're going down there to tell some jokes, man. So I just wanted to reach out to you guys. Have a great show. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. You good luck down there. And I don't want to spread any rumors, but my friend in San Diego said ICE is coming to surge. So, you know, work on your American accent, Jeff.
Easy. Well, they'll definitely pull us over because we're in a van.
Hey, for the signing bonus, I'm going to sign up and arrest Jeff my damn self.
I see an episode.
50 grand signing bonus?
Sold out again.
Yeah. 50 grand?
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys.
Brother. Love you guys.
Yeah, love you too. Be careful down there and have fun. We'll see you next week.
All right.
All right, guys. There goes the whole JJ thing. Oh, down to San Diego. ICE has been alerted.
It's crazy times, man. Just like it, and right when it's the worst time in history, probably, well, in modern history, to be an American citizen.
That's right.
They won't make you choose which one. Oh no, you can't escape. You cannot escape this Nazi hellhole. You must choose.
And speaking of hellhole, well, let's start the Pocho Hour of Power. We've got also Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown, later on, and Frank Contreras from Mexico City. So I say it's time to welcome our first correspondent. Let's cue the band.
Patricia Guadalupe, Pocho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Hello, hello, we're here once again, another week, another craziness.
How are you doing, Patricia?
Oh my God, tell me about it.
Yeah.
Everybody was saying, Patricia, oh, maybe this year will be better.
Yeah, I thought so too. But, you know, this is the longest year of January that we've had in forever. Man.
How can it get any worse?
I mean, it's...
Well, I'm knocking on stone. I can't find wood.
Yeah, don't give the White House any ideas, please. Come on. You know, we're in the second week of January in the new year, which is around the time that Larry David says you cannot say Happy New Year anymore. So, but it is just insane what's going on here.
I think we were well within our rights to say unhappy New Year at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, who had on their bingo card that the opposition leader of Venezuela was going to show up at the White House and give the president the Nobel Prize that was given to her?
Oh my God!
By the Norwegian folks in a ceremony in Sweden, and the president said, "This is a great honor to have this."
And she put it in a frame that looks like, my gym does an auction every year of sports memorabilia. That's what it looks like. It looks like
she stopped. She stopped over on the way. She stopped over in Michael's on the way to. She definitely did not go to Jared's for that frame.
This is such the ultimate gesture of butt kissing.
Well, you know, she is getting crucified on social media for doing that. And he said, it's a great honor to give it to me. You're a wonderful person. The committee is flabbergasted. You know, it's not transferable. This is not a concert ticket, people. She did, of course, keep the $1 million that comes with the prize.
It's equivalent of giving away your Netflix code.
Well, but the thing is like, where have you ever heard of, you know, who wants an object that reminds you that the people who gave it to the winner rejected you? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Nobel Committee didn't give it to you because they didn't think you were worthy. And you're every time you see that, you're going to be reminded that you're not worthy.
But isn't there some question as to even why she got this? Because wasn't she advocating to have her own country invaded and overthrown?
Part of it is because, you know, that she is one of the leaders of the opposition in Venezuela. And so she figured that once Machado was out of there, that she could just walk in and take over. And that's just not happening. I mean, Nicolas Maduro was the leader that the president or the military folks from the U.S. swooped in and took him. He's now in the Brooklyn jail awaiting trial that a lot of people are saying is probably going to make it look like a total sham, because the U.S. government is charging him with a lot of stuff that his lawyers say the U.S. has no jurisdiction over. But it still left a bunch of people down there that are running it just as if he were there. So, for this opposition leader to come here, to Maria Corina Machado, to come and say, I'm giving you the Nobel Prize and thank you so much. She's thinking, the only thing I can think of is she's thinking, okay, now I'm going to have cooperation from the White House, and they're going to go in there and install me as president, which is just not, you know, that's just buffoonery.
She got a snack bag in, right?
In
return.
Just goes to show, never hire a New York real estate developer to do your dirty work for you.
Well, especially when it doesn't pay the bills. I mean,
you're going to get screwed in the end. That's what happens.
And like what Lala was just saying, she walked out of the White House with a red bag that was it didn't say the White House. It was like a little gift bag, but it said Donald Trump on it, his signature, you know, something that looked like it was coming out of, you know, one of the department stores. I don't know what's in that particular bag, but she met with some of the members of Congress after that. But nobody is as, you know, can understand why she did this gesture of giving him the Nobel, the medallion, in exchange for thinking that she's going to go in there and be the president of Venezuela. You know,
I think she got a gift bag because I, from what I understand, Marco Rubio still has to use the servant's entrance.
Well, but now that Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State, the national security person, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens, the Shah of Iran,
he's also the
president of Colombia.
He's a gift bag assembler.
A gift bag assembler, too. He's also going to be at the college football championship with Miami and Indiana. He's the jack of all trades over there.
Yeah, right. Didn't he also put Cuba on warning?
Yeah, he did say that. He said, okay, now it's your turn, Cuba. And we've known since the early 1960s how the U.S. has been completely unsuccessful in getting rid of the type of government that they have down there. And here's the funny thing about that. When Fidel Castro died, a bunch of people cheered and there were, you know, a lot of folks saying, oh, now Cuba's free, blah, blah, blah. Didn't happen. Same thing with Venezuela. But Rubio is saying we have our sights now on Cuba and the Cuba better watch out. And the Cuban government is like, yeah, sure, whatever. And here's the thing, you know, that the U.S. government is saying, well, Cuba's going to fall because they're depending on Venezuelan oil, which they're not going to get anymore. But Cuba does not get their oil from Venezuela. They get it from Mexico. And the relationship between Cuba and Mexico is perfectly fine. And so there's an incredible lack of understanding, no surprise, of what goes on in Latin America within the Trump administration and how they think they're just going to go in there and la-di-da, like they're going to try and take over Greenland, where the Danish people are saying, I don't think so. And Norway and Greenland and a couple of other countries around there have already sent some equipment and military personnel to Greenland to basically say, no, we're not going to let this happen.
Yeah, and it reminds me of that, like a very bad John Candy movie when the United States was going to invade Canada.
Blame Canada. Yeah.
Level of ridiculousness.
I could never understand why we want to invade Canada when we have everything that they sent to us over here anyway, except for that Canadian bacon. I don't understand Canadian bacon.
Well, it's just ham in disguise.
And here's the other thing about Canada and petroleum. Canada is the U.S.'s number one supplier of oil, the same type of petroleum that Venezuela has, that very heavy duty kind.
Extra maple syrup.
Yeah, basically requires a lot of refinery. And now that if it's true that the U.S. is going to go into Venezuela and quote unquote take the oil, Canada is saying, all right, well, if you don't want our oil, guess who's going to want it? China. And they're already talking to China about diverting some of the oil, that some of the petroleum that Canada sends to the U.S. Because Canada says, all right, if we're going to lose the U.S. market as much as they say that they want us out of there, then we're going to look elsewhere. And China and Russia are looking at this and going, wow, yeah, especially China. We're going to take advantage of the utter incompetence in the White House to do whatever we want. And the economy is going to go further down into the doldrums because you have a president who's interested in the shiny objects. You know, he had the Stanley Cup winners, the Florida Panthers, in the White House this week. And he said, oh, I'm going to keep the Stanley Cup. And I'm also going to keep the hockey stick that did the final winning goal. And I'm just going to keep all that. You know, this is somebody who is very, who has a gigantic ego and apparently still acts like a child to just pick up and take things.
He's worse than a Mexican señora at a quinceañera taking the centerpiece.
He's like a magpie with dementia.
Yeah, all of those people that show up with gigantic purses at the Latino weddings, and they're only doing that to take the centerpieces. That's and then, of course, he also pardoned the a former governor of Puerto Rico, highly corrupt woman, Wanda Vasquez, who was convicted and pled guilty and was convicted of corruption and bribery charges. Part of it was from taking a ton of donations, campaign donations, from a Venezuelan banker, which is against the law because he's a foreign national. But coincidentally, his daughter, who was a U.S. citizen, gave a whole bunch of money to the Trump campaign in 2016 and 2024 now. Oh. And coincidentally, this particular governor and this banker will also probably not see any time in jail at all.
But Patricia, would any of this be going on if the Epstein files was not?
Yeah, that's that. And here's the thing: we haven't talked about the Epstein files in a long time because all of this stuff is distracting everybody else. And Congress is again being very useless. They left today for a week-long recess. They call it a working in the district for the Martin Luther King holiday. You know, everybody who's lucky enough to get a three-day weekend, that's all you get is a three-day weekend where Congress decides to take a week off, and they leave a whole bunch of things pending, including Venezuela and the healthcare subsidies that have expired, all the things that this particularly useless Congress is left work to do. And we're getting closer and closer. I know we're only in January, but we're getting closer and closer to the midterms in November, where the Democrats have, they're getting more and more confident that they'll be able to take back the Congress, at least one of the houses, whether it's the Senate or the House, is all up in the air. But if this continues the way that it is, especially with an out-of-control ICE in Minnesota, where you have people like Joe Rogan saying, "What the hell are we doing?" when his own MAGA base is going, "Wait a minute, what's going on here? This is actually making it look better to take out these people.
Even Joe Rogan's equating this action to Gestapo-like.
Yeah. So when you have the MAGA crowd saying, wait a minute.
Minnesotans are just good white people, right?
Well, here's the thing, and we've talked about this when this happened at first, is why white people are all up in arms because this poor woman got shot in Minneapolis, but the black and brown communities have dealt with this for years.
Yeah, of course.
No one has done anything about it.
It takes this white martyr to wake up.
But we
caught it on video before. Oh, wait a minute. Nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and so if anything, at least this will show people that not everyone is immune to this kind of thing. Anybody in the white community has said, "Oh, that's not going to happen to me." Well, guess what? You know, it could.
Yeah, I was hoping this is going to be the tipping point, but apparently a lot more people got to get tipped by the by ICE, and that's not good because they want to do that to us, the non-white people. They want to do it with impunity, and this is a little nerve-wracking.
They released all these funds that they want to do to like expand ICE and put this in all 50 states.
Well,
become a Nazi state. It's going to be the entire country will become a Nazi state.
Well, and keep in mind, folks, that the Nazis were so proud of being Nazis they never covered their faces. Not even the SS.
They were proud of it.
They were proud of being racist, bigots, misogynists. They were proud. They even looked fancy in their uniforms. And some of these ICE guys look like a bunch of slobs.
Yeah. And Your boss.
Yeah, and they go in, running into gas stations, asking people who's pumping gas, are you a U.S. citizen, you know, or walking into a Target and just pulling workers off the Target cashier register, you know, all of this insanity. They're doing this stuff with complete lack of control. And if you think about it, their budget is larger than any law enforcement agency in the U.S. combined, larger than the FBI, larger than the DEA, all of those folks.
So as far as it goes from, you know, you know about the boiling frog theory, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you put a frog into a pot of water and just slowly, slowly bring up the heat until it doesn't realize it's cooked and doesn't think to jump out. I mean, is that what's happening to the United States right now? Are we that gullible? Are we just frogs in a pot?
Well, I think, you know, it took this woman being shot and killed to wake up a lot of people, you know, that the communities of color have been saying for a long time, this is happening, this is happening. And no one really paid attention, including a sleep at the switch Congress. And now you have a gigantic movement of people, not just protesting, but actually really pushing back. And there are several civic organizations that are not just telling people to go out and protest, but go out and record. And they even have free classes on know your rights. You know, what is it that you can do and not do when you're out there dealing with these clowns that, you know, carrying armed clowns is basically what.
There's something in the beginning stages of this ICE thing where the administration was really upset about people informing others about their rights when it came.
Yeah, and ironically. You know, the president is outraged by what's going on in Iran, you know, where a potential collapse of the government.
I got your back.
Yeah.
Protesters.
And so, you know, it's almost like you want to tell the protesters here, maybe you should protest in Farsi so that the president won't bother you. You know, I mean, it's just incredible, you know.
Yeah, it's the hypocrisy and just the. It's almost inexplicable about.
I speak in Farsi.
What's going on?
Trump is leaking into our broadcast. Sorry.
We can joke about a lot of the stuff that's going on, but I think what is really helping is that people are starting to wake up and see. Wait a minute, we can't. This is unsustainable, and the rest of the world is looking at this as the days go by and saying, what the hell is going on over there? Because it just seems to get worse and worse. And, a lot of the Republicans are looking at this and saying, if we don't start to push back, we're going to lose. We're going to lose big.
But can we look at this? Can we go back to Plan 2025, mm-hmm. where everyone was warned before the election?
Oh, yeah.
These guys have all the stuff in place.
Yeah.
Is this plan 2025 coming to fruition? Is this like the end goal is going to be totalitarianism?
Well, there are entire chapters of Project 2025 that are being, you're seeing it out on the streets in the way that they've done, try to decimate some of the federal agencies. That is all exactly right out of the book. And they're doing that because, like you said, he told us what he was going to be doing.
Man.
You know, it's almost like the Latinos for Trump and all those other kinds of folks. You can laugh about them, but it is almost like the cartoon in the New Yorker magazine that shows a giant billboard of a wolf in a field full of sheep. And it says, I'm going to eat you. And the sheep say, well, at least, at least we know where he's coming from. At least he's telling the truth. And that's where the president, when he was running the first time and even the second time around, I'm going to do this. And this is what I'm going to do. And people still fell for it, thinking that the president was in control of the price of eggs and bacon, he's not.
He is openly telling us what he's going to do. Well, I have openly tell you that we got to go, Patricia, but we thank you so much for joining us on Pocho Hour Power live from Washington, D.C., and we'll catch you next time.
Yes, please. And send some of that nice L.A. weather over here. It's 8 degrees right now.
I'm going to send you a special package of Canadian bacon.
A.K.A. fried bologna.
With some Canadian beer, please.
All right. All right. Thank you, Patricia Guadalupe. We'll see you next week on the Pocho Hour Power.
We'll talk next week.
All right. Let's go to a short break. And also the Speedy Gonzalez Sports Report right here on the Pocho Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM.
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The Dodgers signed outfielder Kyle Tucker to a four-year, $240 million deal. With free agent signings in full swing, fans are also anticipating the acquisition of Tigers star pitcher Tarik Skubal. The Rams are still alive in the playoffs as they face the Chicago Bears on the road at 3:30 on NBC Sunday afternoon to conclude the divisional playoffs. The Clippers are beginning to turn their season around with their next matchup today at 4:30 at the Toronto Raptors. Meanwhile, the Lakers want to avoid slipping further in the Western Conference standings as they travel to take on Portland tomorrow night at 7. UCLA women's basketball is ranked third in the nation as they prepare to host number 12 Maryland Sunday at 1 p.m. on NBC. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
Hi, this is Michelle Coltrane. Join me every Saturday at 4 a.m. for my show, Awakenings. We will be taking a musical and spiritual journey into the world of Alice Coltrane and beyond. That's Awakenings every Saturday, 4 a.m. on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and online for the world at kpfk.org.
Shanti.
Hey, this is Lila Downs. You're on KPFK. You're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Órale, órale, it's the Pocho Hour of Power.
Yo soy chicano, señores.
Get down, this is.
Yeah. That's right. And you know what? I like to call New Mexico the Chicano states. So the Chicano state, it's got the Chicano spirit out there. And right now, let's play the theme song for our man in New Mexico and Axios. Axios is not a town in New Mexico. It is this news journalism service platform. Russell Contreras. Welcome back, Russell Contreras. that song kills me. How's it going, man?
Going well. How are you guys doing? All the Pochis and Pochexes across Southern California, good to be with you.
You know, we're surviving. And
when Lala was saying that New Mexico is super Chicano, it's true, because I did do it 1 year of time in Albuquerque High.
It is. They're so Chicano, they think they're Spanish. So it's really amazing.
They have the whole range there. Russell, what's going on with in the United States on your beat for Axios?
Well, one news that we just went viral this week, so much so that The Daily Show even put up their story on their show the other day. The Ogallala Sioux tribe, one of the largest indigenous tribal nations in the United States, is accusing ICE of illegally holding four tribal members picked up during a Minneapolis raid. Now listen, ICE can arrest U.S. citizens in some cases, but ICE, the agents, cannot place U.S. citizens in immigration detention. including indigenous tribal members, after their citizenship is verified. The Ogallala Sioux tribal president, Frank Starr, comes out to Homeland Security Secretary, Christy Noem, that ICE recently detained the tribal members and demanded their release. He said that the men were homeless, living under a bridge there in Minneapolis, and the tribe is trying to get information about where these men are. Now, ICE themselves said, you know, we don't know what they're talking about. We need more information, so forth and so on. They're denying the tribe's accusations that ICE said, we'll tell you where they are if you enter an agreement with them. ICE said, we offered the tribe to enter an agreement, and the tribe says, look, we've got a lot of agreements with you. They're called treaties, and we're not really interested in signing any more. So there's a standoff right here. Of course, this drives attention. There's been a lot of accusations that ICE was either harassing or detaining members. Obviously, Native Americans can't go on ICE detention, especially those who are in tribal members. Where are you going to deport them? Some activists send their indigenous members in ICE, but they usually tend to be, indigenous people from Guatemala. That's something different. If you're a member of a tribal nation in South Dakota, or say Navajo in New Mexico, or Hopi in Arizona, you can just use your tribal card, and that is supposed to get you out of ICE detention, or even a state license. Right now, this is a controversy. We haven't decided how it's going.
Where are they going to deport them?
It's a sovereign nation, right?
It's a sovereign nation.
It's a sovereign nation, exactly. It's
sovereign nations.
So that is that what the issue is? Like, oh, they're not really U.S. citizens, but we can't deport them outside the U.S.?
I mean, they're all U.S. citizens under the
Constitution. Yeah, they're free to go to the United States. You can't deport them back to their tribe.
What, right? Are they going to deport them into a volcano or something? I mean, come on.
You can't deport them to a volcano. You cannot deport to East L.A. You can't deport them with a goat. You can't deport them in a boat. You gotta just leave. You know, they're free to roam the United States as they see fit. You
can't surround them with a moat.
They're not green eggs, Sam. I am. They're people. And so that's the agency. ICE, of course, is saying, look, we don't have them here. They've denied that they're putting U.S. citizens, but there have been documented cases where U.S. citizens have been caught up in ICE, so much so that their lawyers are going on social media saying, if you are a citizen, these are your rights. ICE can arrest you, but they cannot put you in immigration detention. That is against the law.
God, I mean.
So recently, was it Rubio who was saying that, or somebody, they said that ICE is like immune from federal prosecution? Is that a true deal, or like?
That is a great segue. That is, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because in our second story we did this week is we looked into the investigation of 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good. And why aren't ICE agents being held accountable? Well, there's many reasons. One, you know, it's different when you have a local shooting and you have a multi-agency investigation. Like, say if there's a shooting with LA Sheriff and the Los Angeles Department, this is an officer shooting, there's an investigation meeting. ICE doesn't have to go through it. It's a relatively young federal agency. It was created right after the 9/11 attacks, and it has few guardrails and few lawsuits to challenge how it conducts law enforcement operations. Look, think about it. If you've been an ICE agent, and the most people you've interacted with up to this point have been immigrants, and you're going to deport them, what's that immigrant going to do while they're already in Guatemala? File a complaint that you abused them while they're in the capital or in Guatemala? No. So they don't face a lot of lawsuits, and there's been no what we call pattern or practice investigations into the agency like they have with FBI. So what really happens is that it's up to the federal government to investigate. And right now, there's a lot of skepticism that the Trump administration will investigate this like other previous administrations, Democrat or Republican, would do themselves. Not only that, ICE has to, the Department of Justice has to investigate ICE and create a pattern and a practice investigation to see if it's committing abuses beyond its authority or breaking the law, and then has to enter some court-ordered agreement for reforms. That's not going to happen here. Now, the state of Minnesota and local law enforcement or local prosecutors can try to charge ICE agents, but then it will trigger a long court battle because the ICE agent will probably try to claim federal immunity. This happened before. Many people may not remember the Ruby Ridge case where that FBI agent was charged by folks in Idaho. It took almost 10 years to litigate it. When it finally did, the case was dropped because the prosecutor lost an election.
And everybody's so this
investigation,
say,
yeah, it's going to take decades.
Everybody's going to say, I don't remember Trump. He was president? They're going to say that. That's going to be terrible. So we got one more minute for Russell. Russell, do you have anything
to
wrap up? Okay, we have one more minute for Russell, so we got to wrap it up. So, Russell, what do you got to say? What are we looking for?
We're looking for, at the end of this weekend, Texans 20, Patriots 3. Texans are heading up to the NFC Championship and will probably, hopefully, play the Rams in what we call the Cholo Bowl. Mark it right here on the Pocho Hour, Rams v. Texans. Cholo v. Cholo, violence on violence, Tejano versus, I don't know what you guys call yourselves, King Taco Eaters. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It is going to be a great battle. Hopefully we get the Cholo Bowl, and you'll hear it right here from the Pocho Hour Power coming straight from Axios.
I will see you down at the Cholo Bar, but don't say ahoy while we're there, okay?
No, they'll love it. They'll love it. They'll want me to record it for the voicemail.
All right, thank you, Russell Contreras from Axios. How can people get a hold of some Axios content?
Go to axios.com/newsletters to get Mike Allen's email for the top stories in the news in your email box every morning, PM, every evening, right straight for free.
All right. Let's go to a short. Thank you, Russell. We'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power. Let's go to a short break, some music, come back with Frank Contreras from Mexico City. Orale, please, migra, leave me alone so I can hear this next segment with my man Frank Contreras, our correspondent from Mexico City here on the Pocho Hour Power. Welcome, Frank Contreras. How you doing, man?
Hey, Lalo. Hey, guys. Good to be with you here. Broadcasting live to you from Mexico City and to the world on the Pocho Hour of Power. Russell Contreras, good job.
Yeah, right? I mean, we got so much bad news to report. It's good to get a handle on it, you know? Like, let's stay on top of this stuff.
2026 is starting out rough. Ugh. Let's put it that way. Last night in Mexico City, we had an overnight earthquake alarm about 10 minutes before 1 a.m. The alarm rang out on our cell phones. Millions of people got the message. We all got startled and frightened out of bed last night, Lalo.
And I heard nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Yeah, I didn't even.
What's up with that?
I don't know, but they got us up early, man. They got us up early. So
you're like, so I'm already getting up to work at 1 a.m.
Exactly. You're up and cranking out those cartoons, man. this week, we're taking a close look at how Latin America is viewing the attack on Venezuela by the United States government. And also how Cuba is reacting, how Cuba is facing the situation there. You know that Trump has said that Cuba could be next in line, right, guys? You've heard that. So of course, Cuba is on standby to find out what's up with that. We've been speaking with leading analysts here on the Pocho Hour of Power, people around Latin America, people in Caracas, Venezuela. So we've got some updates for you right now to add to this broadcast. Over the weekend, we were speaking, over this past week, we were speaking with analysts about how they're viewing, about how Latin America really is viewing this attack, the seizure, the military seizure of the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro. Some people thought of him as a dictator. Some people say it doesn't matter. You can't use a military like that too. So President Sheinbaum, Claudia Sheinbaum, this week did have a one-on-one telephone conversation with Donald Trump. She called the conversation cordial. It lasted about 15 minutes of talk time over the telephone line to Washington. And basically, the president of Mexico said she's sticking with what she's been saying before, that we do not, in Mexico, we do not think that this is the way nations should relate to one another. We condemn this invasion. We think it's important to respect national sovereignty. This is a message that's being spread all across Latin America right now. You're not hearing it just from the Mexican government, but also from President Lula da Silva in Brazil, a major power in southern South America. For Mexico, when the United States invaded Venezuela, guys, both on the part of the government and part of the people, there were kind of a sense of shockwaves came through this country. We had not seen this kind of thing, right? And since the Noriega capture back in the 1980s, it was the kind of thing that, you know, an imperial power tries to pull off. Donald Trump made it very clear. He said, you know, this is our backyard. We control it. That's the strong message that he sent to Latin America. So this, of course, has all of Latin America kind of up on guard, standing by, waiting to see what could happen. The Mexican government says that it does not expect still no kind of military incursion from Trump, though he has said when asked, you know, should we send troops to Mexico to fight the cartels? He says, that sounds good to me, right? So,
that's going to be quite a nopal patch to land in, trying to attack Mexico by land. I don't care how many nukes you got. It's not going to be a cakewalk, right?
It would be a difficult task, according to many analysts that we've been interviewing this past couple of weeks since this incursion took place on January 3rd. A lot of analysts that Pocho Hour of Power has been speaking with basically tell us that, you know, there are too many of you guys in the United States who would stand up for us if that happened. That is, tens of millions of people of Mexican descent in the United States would probably, you know, stand up and call halt to that. It's also the fact that Mexico is the number one trading partner for the United States. So that would seriously hinder cross-border trade, which would, you know, have a massive effect on your economy once again.
We don't need any more massive effects over here.
Yeah, you don't need that. A lot of that has been brought on by tariffs. Mexico has not received tariffs, has sort of been able to dodge a lot of those. There have been some products that Trump administration has slapped tariffs on, things like steel and aluminum coming from Mexico and other places in Latin America, Brazil and other locations. But overall, Mexico has been able to dodge the bullet when it comes to tariffs. Still, you know, you get the threats every couple of months, every couple of weeks. And this past week, speaking from Detroit, standing in front of, you know, a number of automobile executives, Trump said, we don't need a new trade agreement. We don't need the trade agreement that we have with Mexico or Canada. And of course, you guys know that's how you get most of your vehicles right now. They come from both of these two countries, Mexico and Canada. The Mexican vehicles, by the way, are filled with a lot of components coming from China. So you hear a lot of talk from the Trump administration saying that we, you know, we want to slam China when it comes to trade. We want to make sure that China pays heavy tariffs. But if you do that, those numbers add up and they get slapped onto the cost of border of vehicles crossing the border from Mexico into the United States. Again, as I said, those vehicles are filled with products and parts that have come from places like China and around the world. The world is globalized.
Yeah, it's not 1850, you know. It's like we're all in this together, and I don't know what this guy is just not fit.
It's not 1823 when the Monroe Doctrine was first announced, and Donald Trump wants us to believe that is the case, that you know, that the United States still holds military sway over this region. So we've been asking analysts, you know, what does all this mean for Cuba, by the way? And as you guys know, Mexico has been a longstanding strong ally of Cuba since the Cuban Revolution came on in the late 1950s. And from statements that we've been hearing recently from President Sheinbaum, it sounds like Mexico will continue to be a strong ally for Cuba. Mexico is the number one provider now, as of 2025, of oil going to Cuba. You guys heard that maybe a lot of the oil from Venezuela that that the Venezuelan government was producing was going over to Cuba last year. Actually, it was coming from Mexico, from Petróleos Mexicanos. Pemex is the number one now exporter of oil products and oil petroleum energy products to Cuba. And so could the Trump administration try to attack Mexico on that basis? It looks like so far they're not doing that, that there's even some space for some wiggle room. Mexico says that the petroleum it sends is part of humanitarian assistance that Mexico provides to the island nation of Cuba. So this is a really interesting factor here taking place.
Yeah, I don't know what the profit motive would be, because he has a profit motive for each of these wacky invasion schemes. I mean, I guess real estate or just, I don't know, plantain
oil.
It's not plantain oil.
A lot of what we hear is that a lot of the policy that Trump is getting whispered into his ear is coming from Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, the State Department in the United States government. Rubio, you guys know he's from Cuba, and he's staunchly against the government there that says that it provides for its people before it does for foreign corporations. Rubio doesn't like that idea. He doesn't want that kind of thing. He still calls it pinko communism. Cuba's much more sophisticated than that. It has been for decades. But Rubio does not see it that way. So perhaps what we're looking at is just, you know, Rubio, this is a conjecture here on the part of your Pocho correspondent, but maybe Rubio is trying to tell Trump, do what you can, topple the government there. Yeah. It'll be historic. You'll go down in history. And you know how Mr. Trump likes that kind of thing. So.
Havana Hilton for Trump. Frank, I'm sorry we got to wrap it up, but anything we have to look forward to, or you did cover your topics very well.
Yeah, you know, we're still keeping a very close eye on immigration. One of the people killed so far this month under ICE custody was a Mexican citizen. That's coming from the Mexican consular office in Atlanta, Georgia. They're reporting the name, whose name I don't have just now, of a man who was killed in ICE custody. And we should report here on the Pocho Hour that last year, 30 people were killed, died while in ICE custody. That was a very high number.
Yeah.
We're on track right now with the numbers of people who have died so far this year in the month of January. We're on track to top that number, 30, by the month of April, if we keep on the pace that we're going right now, the stage that's taking place in ICE custody. So keeping an eye on that as well for Mexico City, guys.
All right. Well, God help us and help the people in detention right now. Frank Contreras, thank you for joining us. Live from Mexico City, even though you had to get up at 1 a.m. for nothing. Just use that time, go to the bathroom or something. Next
time. We just keep sniffing around doing some reporting for the Pocho Hour.
That's right. All right. Thank you, brother. We'll be right back with more Pocho Hour Power after this. Orale. I'm searching for my headlines here on the Pocho Hour Power and for knowledge about immigration. And you don't have to go too far, because we have on the air with us, joining us for her regular segment here on the Pocho Hour Power, it's Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown. Meredith Brown, welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power.
Hola, hola, ¿cómo estamos? No nos vamos. Just to follow up on what Frank said, or was commenting about the name of the gentleman that died in ICE custody in Georgia, is Herbert Sanchez.
Thank you.
Herbert Sanchez from Mexico, and it was recent. And they're investigating. The family doesn't want to talk right now. There's a GoFundMe page for him that needs to be, that's online. Just make sure you verify it. But yeah, another tragedy. I know people are focusing on Renee Good, but we definitely need to, focus on the context of not only just deaths, but the torture that's going on.
Yeah.
against so many people from across the globe. Just to let you guys know real quickly, I'm going to go to Guatemala, and we're going to hold some press events for the deportees there. We're going to try to find ways where they can return legally. Not everyone can, obviously, but it's case by case. We're going to work with the Arevalo administration and nonprofits in Guate. And we're thinking about expanding that, you know, wherever it's necessary to really make sure. Lots of people have family members that immediately are going to immigration lawyers, but we just want to make sure that everybody, since we have such good, we have really good relations with the Guatemalan presidency and the Congress there. So we just, you know, we're going to see if we can do something that's going to happen in 2 weeks. Another thing to report is that the ACLU is suing Minnesota. I don't know if you guys talked about this already. For their arrest of U.S. citizens, basically racially profiling La Raza and also people from Somalia. And so that's been filed, and that's percolating in the courts.
I have a question about this, because we know that there's been a lot of violations of people's civil rights, you know, involving ICE. And now with this so-called federal immunity, is there any cases that can go forth with like civil suits, or is that all squashed under the federal immunity?
No, I think definitely there are arguments that there is not immunity if they're in violation of the Constitution. And obviously if they're killing people, there's no immunity for that.
But there's no investigations. There's no follow through. So where does that leave people?
Well, if a federal judge tells the Trump administration to retire his troops, as this happened in Los Angeles, Portland, and where else? I think Colorado. Or it works. I mean, it's, you have to go through the court system. There's going to be appeals. We're trying to get stays against the administration, but it works. I mean, it's kind of the retroguardia. It's not the vanguard. The vanguard are the people, right? And organizing and pushing back and organizing in the sense of letting people know that ICE is in their area. And the most important thing for folks to do is not open the door, even if they slide an ICE warrant or an immigration judge, which is basically BS because they're just administrative judges. There has to be judicially signed by a judge. And it's just really important for people to connect with nonprofits that are working in this area. You know, of course, in Los Angeles, Cheer, La Caris, and Catholic Charities is all over the place, all over the country. So they're really good. So that's the first thing, is that there's this lawsuit. The second one is that both Minnesota and Illinois are also suing to basically cease and desist order for ICE to be doing these rogue operations where they're not using judicially enforced warrants, where they're covering up their identification, where they're racially profiling. And I think that, again, the tenor in the Supreme Court, as well as definitely with the federal judges, people have had it with this administration. And I think they're getting shut down by the judicial branch. And you know, unfortunately, it does take some time, but I think people are waking up that this is also a ruse to use more violence and authoritarian moves to shut down the elections.
I'm not a judge, but I've had it too.
We all have had it, Lalo. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's
no, people but it's are true. Exhausted. It's true. I mean, it seems like an obvious move forward to shut down something like the elections, the midterms, and this crazy president keeps talking about, like, you know, maybe we don't need elections. And,
we don't need him.
And ramping up Stephen Miller's agenda.
Hey, Meredith, what do we have to look forward to? We have about, less than 60 seconds left for. Sorry.
Well, I think people are seeking out community. They're looking for legal counsel if they have cases. And again, nationwide class actions are coming forth. Just a real quick shout out to people that have what's called consular processes. If you have a consular appointment in Guatemala, and in one of the other 74 countries, you really need to stop and talk to a lawyer before you leave the country. In general, I think it's a good idea because this administration is changing the rules on public charge, and you might get trapped in your country if you leave. So it's really important to get a very judicious opinion from a counsel, from an attorney, before you leave to your consular appointment. Very important right now.
All right. Well, it is judicious to always listen to you every week here on the Butcher Hour Power. Thank you so much, Meredith Brown. We got to roll, so we'll see you next time, okay?
Always presente. Thank you.
All right. The Vanguard is here on the Butcher Hour Power. I want to thank Meredith Brown. I would like to thank Jaime Casillas for this groovy song. Esteban Zuhl, thank you out there in Guadalajara. And I want to thank Guadalajara's Wi-Fi system of Coca.